Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Friday, we made it through the week, and yes, I'm here. Secret Service Director says we don't want to throw local law enforcement under the bus. They already tried that. It didn't work out well for them. There was way too much pushback. And the bottom line is that the failures of this agency are just all over the place. Now, he goes on to say several times throughout the course of the press conference today, and I watched the whole thing, you know, the hardworking agents who within 3 seconds of the shots fired were on Donald Trump. Fine. Okay, that's all well and good. And they deserve enormous praise, the Secret Service agents that ran to the president and protected him. But it still doesn't answer how the hell this guy was running on the roof line while the former president's speaking and nobody sees the guy. So he says, we're going to start using drones now. That's the big update. By the way, Josh Shapiro, there is an all-out effort underway by the progressive left to stop Josh Shapiro from being picked as Kamala Harris's running mate. It's looking very much like it's going to be Josh. I don't know if it's going to be, and I'm not going to predict because I have no way of predicting that. But it's looking more and more like it's probably going to wind up being Josh Shapiro. So there's an effort by the extreme kooks in the Democrat Party to stop him. And one of the things they're doing is they actually have a website up right now, stopgenocidejosh.org. I kid you not. Stopgenocidejosh.org. And they go on about his support for Israel and his support for Israel's genocide of Palestine. This is what they say on their website. And they also talk about Josh Shapiro's sexual harassment, the whole issue around that with his top aide, and then the non-disclosure agreement that was signed with the woman who made the allegations. And by the way, she was retaliated against by the governor's office. So all this is coming out against Shapiro. And you have to wonder if at the last minute they may pull the plug on this guy. Actually, just a few moments ago, my friend Linda Kern sent me an article. Moderate Harris VP contender sought left-wing mercenaries to thwart Rust Belt energy industry. Shapiro is widely thought to be the top choice. And the article goes on to say that as a state attorney general, he basically applied to be part of a Michael Bloomberg-sponsored program to appoint special climate prosecutors to go after the energy industry in his own state of Pennsylvania. And this is from a Wall Street Journal report that we have that the climate activists began placing employees in attorneys general offices in dubious private public condominiums, and then highlighted a remarkable arrangement by a New York University Law School State Energy and Environmental Impact Center, state AGs for rent, privately funded litigators who wielded state police power. All right. So we'll talk about all that with you this afternoon as well. And then, of course, if it's not Josh and she does this big rally in Pennsylvania on Tuesday, and then Josh is standing up there and it's like, oh, you don't get the golden rose. You don't get the rose. It's going to be a very, very awkward moment. But we'll see. She may name the person before the rally just so that it's not super awkward for the governor of Pennsylvania. She obviously doesn't want to make an enemy out of the guy since she wants his help if she doesn't wind up choosing him. But yeah, no, the progressive left all in. Stop Genocide Josh. That's the website. .org. .org. Not .com or .net. .org. Just so you know. Here is U.S. Acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe saying they take full responsibility, vowing to hold individuals accountable if they violated policy. Now, you have to realize now we're going on, what, almost 20 days. If you can believe it, almost 20 days since the events in Butler. And nobody has been held accountable as of yet. Actually, let me jump to the second clip, Matt. This is the second one. In no way should any state or local agency supporting us in Butler be held responsible for a Secret Service failure. Okay, let's start there because there's been a lot of attempts to throw the Pennsylvania State Police, the Beaver County emergency management people under the bus, the local Butler PD under the bus. And these agencies have all pushed back. And these agencies have all pushed back and said, well, hey, listen, we did our part. We did everything we were supposed to do. Please don't pretend and don't try to tell us that this is our fault. So let's start there.
In no way should any state or local agency supporting us in Butler on July 13th be held responsible for a Secret Service failure. Typically, the Secret Service refrains from commenting on ongoing investigations, but we know these are extraordinary circumstances. So please understand that the information provided today is based on what I know now to a degree of certainty. We will learn more as interviews are completed and further evidence is gathered and analyzed, and I will share more information as it becomes available. But I can say without a doubt that heroism was present that day. Secret Service agents rushed to the stage to shield the former president with their bodies within 3 seconds of bullets ringing out in an unflinching act of bravery. The Secret Service counter-sniper who neutralized the threat with a single shot undoubtedly saved countless lives. We're in a high operational tempo, and I need and I want our Secret Service workforce, the dedicated men and women of the Secret Service. I want to know and I want to make sure that they are uplifted so they can focus on carrying out the mission. They are worthy of trust and confidence, and they deserve your support.
Now, this guy, just so you know, there is a whistleblower who's come forward. And this whistleblower said that this guy, you just heard there, this guy, Ronald Rowe, personally, was the guy who cut the staff in Butler that day. All right, so it looks like acting director for the United States Secret Service, Ronald Rowe, is going to be facing more questions. This is what I think led ultimately to this press conference. I know Jesse Waters talked about it last night. I know the story kind of broke after the show yesterday, but this whistleblower came forward. And this is what the whistleblower said. Whistleblower told Josh Hawley that the United States Secret Service acting director, Rowe, personally directed cuts to the agents who do threat assessments for events. The whistleblower says those agents were not present in Butler, and some of them had warned of security problems for months. Okay? So then Josh Hawley sends a letter to the Secret Service director yesterday demanding answers to all these things. That's on August 1st. Sends this letter asking for all these answers. They want to know all, they want documents, everything else. Were you the guy? Is this on you? Were you the one who cut the funding for everybody involved in the threat assessments. Now, the next day, he comes out and does a big press conference. Really, nothing new comes out of this press conference. If you watch it and you listen to it for the entire hour that it was on, or just about, which I did, you didn't really get anything new out of it, other than this guy is now trying to save face. It's a Friday. You normally would not do something like this on a Friday in August unless you're trying to change the subject. So he's out there trying to be Mr. Accountability. And, you know, if you didn't know any better, you'd listen to this and go, wow, this guy's really stepping up, right? This guy's really stepping up, and he's trying to take accountability, and he's trying to say the buck stops here. But if you don't know the whole story about how this whistleblower unleashes on him and says, this is the guy, it's her. So yesterday, Susan Crabtree tweeted out the following: whistleblowers unleash on Secret Service Chief Roe. He cut security assets. The agency was plagued by systemic problems, special treatment, nepotism, and retaliation. Details of a whistleblower's legal case against the agency, accusing Secret Service managers of special favors, lowering standards for a son of a senior official, including improperly forcing a polygraph retesting after the son failed. So Susan Crabtree, Real Clear Politics, she's an investigative reporter over there, and she goes into great details about this. Other whistleblowers have come forward citing more systemic problems with the Secret Service. Those deep-seated, long-term problems include nepotism and other merit-based favoritism. Hawley said in his letter he had received detailed information that Roe personally directed significant cuts to the Counter-Surveillance Division, a department that performs threat assessment evaluations of event sites before the events occur, and did not perform its typical evaluation of the Butler site and was not present that day. Quote from the letter: this is significant because the Counter-Surveillance Division's duties include evaluating potential security threats outside the security perimeter. And he added that a CSD's threat assessment likely would have provided more measures to protect the rooftop of the American Glass Research Building where shooter Thomas Crooks opened fire on Donald Trump. The whistleblower claims that if personnel from the CSD had been present at the rally, the gunman would have been handcuffed in the parking lot after being spotted with a rangefinder. You acknowledge in your Senate testimony that the American Glass Researchers Complex should have been included in the security perimeter for the Butler event. Now, the unnamed whistleblower further alleged that Roe personally directed significant cuts to the CSD, including reducing the division's manpower by 20%. Hawley said, you did not mention this in your Senate testimony when asked directly to explain manpower reductions. In fact, Roe specifically denied during that testimony being involved in any discussions that rejected requests for added security for Trump over the course of 2 years. And during that exact same testimony, he disputed accusations that he was involved in decision making, which limited the assignment of counter sniper teams. Real Clear Politics reported on those two accusations earlier in the week, citing sources within the Secret Service community. Whistleblowers also accused Secret Service leaders and managers of retaliating against individuals who expressed concerns about the security of Trump's events. The flurry of anonymous accusations includes an assertion that after an event with a Trump golf tournament in August of last year, Secret Service personnel present expressed serious concern that the agency's reliance on local law enforcement was not adequate to meet security needs because these local officers were not properly trained and otherwise prepared to carry out the tasks delegated to them. Further, Senator Hawley said, Secret Service personnel expressed alarm. Individuals were admitted to the event without vetting. And the whistleblower alleges that those who raised such concerns were retaliated against. A Missouri Republican who sits on the Judiciary and Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee asked the acting Secret Service director to produce a series of documents during his time as deputy director. So, you know, Roe was there on Tuesday. Didn't really get much out of it. It was a lot of fireworks, a lot of drama, a lot of moments for the camera. But Hawley kept going on and saying, listen, I haven't slept in 17 days. This could have been our Dallas. This could have been our school book depository. There were several shouting matches. But by all accounts, a lot of people thought he did a decent job. They said, well, it's not his fault. He wasn't the director. So why is everybody so mad at him? you know, the director, Kimberly Cheetos, who was guarding Pepsi products, she's gone now. So why is everybody yelling at this guy? Well, it's because the whistleblowers were saying that this guy was the one who was making all these cutbacks on the threat assessment and the counter-surveillance people. In fact, during the questioning, Roe said at the time, "You're asking me, Senator, completely make a rush to judgment about somebody failing. I acknowledge this was a failure." And then the senator said, "Is this not a failure? I mean, the former president was shot." And then Hawley shouted, "Hold somebody accountable." But here's the problem. What if the guy you got to hold accountable is him? What if the reason why nobody's been held accountable to this day is because the guy who has to hold people accountable is the person who's also accountable? That's an awkward situation right there. If it turns out that Robert Roe, the acting Secret Service director, who's looking to hold people accountable, is the guy who needs to be held accountable, oof, we got a problem right there. He insisted that he needed to allow the FBI investigation to continue in order to gather all the facts and determine culpability. "And I will do so with integrity and not rush to judgment and put people unfairly persecuted," he said. But then Josh Hawley started going down. And we played the clip for you on Tuesday. We played the clip back, you know, when it happened, that the agency denied repeated requests for additional security from agents charged with protecting Trump and others. Some of those requests were made in writing. Several sources in the Secret Service community told Real Clear Politics that the repeated rejections for more security assets included requests for additional magnetometers, more agents to screen attendees at large rallies, as well as counter snipers and counter surveillance and other specialty teams. The fact that the big takeaway from this whole thing is that the Secret Service is now going to be using drones is just mind-boggling. And you have to wonder, if you had had more counter-surveillance people who were able to help out with the pre-planning for Butler, for example, would they have said, "Listen, this is a big outdoor area. There's buildings outside the perimeter. There's a whole freaking field outside the perimeter. We need eyes in the sky. All right, and since we can't have a helicopter up there, because obviously, you know, you're going to have the president speaking and we want people to be able to hear him, then let's fly a drone." My son has a drone. He's 9 years old. And the drone has video capability. It's great. It's really cool. I mean, there's a little app and you fly the drone and you can see everything on the drone. He loves it. Super cool. Patrick loves playing with it. Take it out into a field by our house and, you know, you got to be careful. You don't want to hit trees or anything like that. Not that complicated. In fact, the fact that we didn't have drones, the fact that we're only now, as part of this, coming out and going, "All right, we're going to start using drones." You go, "Wait, what? Huh? How is that not a thing?" I mean, we've been killing people with drones for 24 years now, ever since 9/11. We've been literally killing people with drones since the September 11th attacks. After that, I mean, probably before that, but after that, we shifted everything to just drone strikes. We were drone striking the hell out of everybody. So high up in the sky, you couldn't even hear him coming. We don't have a drone we can fly over a presidential event to make sure that nobody else has any drones. But Thomas Crooks was able to fly a drone? Like, really? The senator then moved on to grilling Roe and reports that the agency denied repeated requests for additional security from agents charged with protecting Trump and others. Some of those requests were made in writing. The repeated rejections for more security, very frustrating for a lot of people. And Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who's useless, said the whistleblower reports are unequivocally false. How does he know? But Secret Service officials have since acknowledged that some denials may have occurred in certain circumstances over the last 2 years, although they say not for the July 13th Butler rally. Okay? After categorically denying the denials had occurred, Secret Service spokesman Anthony Guglielmi 4 days later told the Washington Post that some denials may have occurred and they were reviewing documentation to understand the specific interactions better. Now, Roe denied reports that he was directly involved in the decision making for the rejections for extra security for Trump. But the whistleblower's disclosures to his office in asserting that local law enforcement officers who were assigned to the rooftop where Crooks fired 8 bullets but failed to remain on the metal roof because of the hot temperatures in Butler that day, that all is a bunch of BS, because it turns out that the local police officers had posted up inside the building, but they were never told by the Secret Service that they should be on the roof. That's where we played you the audio clip earlier in the week of the head of the Beaver County Emergency Services who came out and said, listen, Secret Service never told us they needed counter snipers. Never. So the reason why today Roe comes out on a Friday in August and does this cover your ass press conference, because it's part of my French, but, you know, earmuffs. But that's what that is. It's an attempt to do that and to distract from the fact that there's these whistleblowers out there saying, dude, you want to hold somebody accountable? Look in the freaking mirror. It's you. And that they had tried ever since July 13th to blame everybody they could. Butler PD, Beaver County, Pennsylvania State Police, and at each and every turn, those law enforcement entities pushed back and said, not us. I mean, the head of the Pennsylvania State Police, Corporal came out and said, or the Colonel, excuse me, came out and said, listen, we were assigned motorcade detail, and that's what we were dealing with. And we did that fine. And the Butler PD said, we had guys on the ground, and we radio in, by the way, that we saw this guy on the roof and nothing happened. And then they said, well, the Beaver County should have had counter snipers up there. And the county emergency services guy is like, no, they never asked us that. So that's why he comes out today and he goes, I won't stand here and allow our local law enforcement partners to be thrown under the bus because you tried for 2 weeks and it didn't work. They all pushed back on you, throwing them under the bus. In fact, other whistleblowers have actually taken legal action against the agency for what they describe as a culture of fear, favoritism, and unfair retribution. Several whistleblowers and sources within the Secret Service community have come forward to Real Clear Politics in the wake of the assassination attempt against Trump to share complaints that they were unfairly retaliated against for raising complaints about managers not following protocols or making security decisions that could harm those the agency is tasked to protect. I got to ask the obvious question. Did anybody ever say, hey, maybe we shouldn't have 5'2" women protecting a guy who's 6'4"? And I got to be honest with you. That would probably be the kind of thing that would get you in trouble. And if nothing else, the culture in the Secret Service would make it so that if somebody really had a concern about that, like maybe you don't let Paula Blart mall cop the woman who couldn't even get her gun in her holster. Maybe that's not the person you want on the stage or in the bubble. Maybe you want that person but far away on the perimeter, but you don't want that person being able to be the person who grabbed. And a 5'2" woman should probably do wonderful things in terms of looking at the crowd and being able to observe people's behavior. All kinds of wonderful functions she can provide. But can she help carry a potentially wounded 6'4" gigantic man off of a stage? I couldn't. I mean, I'm not a 5'2" woman. I'm not far off, but I couldn't do that. So why would you put me on there? If you put me up there, I would hope somebody would say, dude, not for nothing, but you could barely carry. If Trump said, I want my shoes. You could barely lift those. But if there's a culture that would punish you for saying such a thing because the Secret Service wanted everything to be woke and wanted all their DEI checkpoints and to make sure we have 25% women and, you know, all the other hiring practices and everything else, you'd turn around and go, all right, I guess I better keep my mouth shut. There was a marked difference between the agents who were with Trump on that stage in Butler and the agents who were protecting him in Milwaukee at the RNC. It was one of the first visible things people noticed. Because that was really the first time that he was in a large public setting since the assassination attempt. I mean, remember, the assassination attempt occurred on a Saturday. The RNC, the Republican National Convention, started on Monday. Trump shows up at the arena that Monday night, and he's surrounded by gigantic, hulking dudes, as he should be. Surrounded by gigantic hulking dudes, because guess what? He's a big dude. And men are stronger. They just are. I mean, it's just a fact of life. Look, you can pretend like they're not, but they are. And if you need a bunch of guys to carry a man who is incapable of walking on his own, because he's been wounded and needs to be carried and lifted, and at the same time that you have to do that, you also have to potentially take fire for him. You want the biggest people possible so that they can also act as shields, so that their bodies can act as a shield against the sniper. I mean, every time you've ever watched a Secret Service, a movie featuring the Secret Service, I mean, I don't think you have to really be an expert on this. Just watch In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood. It's a great movie, John Malkovich, or any of the other movies that involve a presidential assassination attempt. And the whole goal is to surround the guy And so that you can act as a deterrent so that a sniper can't see the principal. You even get Secret Service agents who kind of look like the principal to kind of throw the person off. Not that complicated. All right, I got a lot more on this for you as the show progresses. We got some great guests coming up today. We're loaded up to bear. It's official. Kamala Harris has won the Democrat national nomination. She's now the official nominee for the Democrat National Committee to be president of the United States of America. She received zero votes in any primary. But let us all scream about democracy, shall we? That's the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. We're coming right back.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
First of all, let me wish a happy birthday to producer Kirk. His birthday was yesterday. Hope you had a great day, buddy. He told me he had lasagna. Meat lasagna, of course. Is there any other kind? Certainly not vegetable lasagna.
Exactly right.
So happy birthday, Kirk.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Do you want to tell everybody your age? You don't have to.
I'm 54.
54.
Yes.
All right. So
still in Gen X.
still a Gen Xer.
Exactly right. Yep.
You were still corrupted by hose water and neglect, right?
Exactly right. Yep.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Good. I like it. Well, hope you had a good day.
And thank you.
Now, does your mom, when your mom makes lasagna, out of curiosity, does she use ricotta and mozzarella?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Or ricotta, as Mama Zioli would say.
Exactly right. Yep.
Good. And
love
what kind
it.
Of meat?
To be honest, I don't know. To be honest, I really don't know. I know it's a mix.
I've got to ask her. I'm curious. It's controversial whether or not you use meatball mix, you go sausage, you know what I mean? So
I'll ask her. To be honest, I just chow down, and I can, you know, I usually have several helpings. And when she made it last night, it was like this big, big, gigantic pan, and we're eating that for days. So I'm like, good for me.
Good.
Yep. Thank you very much. I
think vegetable lasagna is as offensive to my people as pineapple on a pizza is.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. Yes, sir. Yeah. Without a doubt. Yep.
And since Elaine had a fly next to a guy named Vegetable Lasagna on a flight once on Seinfeld, I can't touch it.
Yep.
I can't touch it.
Exactly right.
Eli Lake's going to join us at 3:40, so this is going to be kind of a quick turnaround. I just want to play this clip for you. This is the Secret Service. The acting director was asked about the radio call regarding the shooter on the roof. All right. And whether or not the radio call did or did not reach the Secret Service. OK, because this is the question. Why was the president of the future president of the United States? I don't want Jimmy Matthews to freak out. Why was he allowed on that stage? Why wasn't he immediately taken off the stage? You see a dude on a roof. Take a listen.
Do you have information in the 30 seconds after the gunman was confronted on the roof by a local law enforcement officer that there were local law enforcement trying to communicate with the Secret Service that there was someone on the roof with a gun and that transmission was the one that was missed?
Based on, you know, what the FBI, my colleague from the FBI testified the other day, and they are working on isolating some of those radio frequencies from the state and locals, that there was somebody who did in fact radio out that they had seen the individual with a weapon. What I can tell you is that vital piece of information, and by no fault of anyone, it was a very stressful situation. It did not make it over. Our detail, our counter snipers, everyone that was there that day were operating under the assumption and under the last bit of information they had received that there was an issue that the locals were working at the 3:00. That's the bit of information that we had, not anything about a weapon.
Okay, that's what we got. Sorry, but by now you should have a lot more information for us. I think ultimately this is all on him. I think a lot more is going to come out. That's why he did this Friday afternoon cover your butt press conference. I'll have more audio for you on this as the show progresses today. Just as a programming note, going forward, we're going to start streaming the show on YouTube at 4:00. And I'll tell you the reason why, because we do 30 minutes of nonstop talk at 5:00 and it's a long time to talk without a break. If you have to, like, blow your nose or something like that, and you're on camera. And, you know, I had the sinus surgery. Secondly, a lot of times we have guests at 5:00, and then you're just looking at me just staring in the camera. So we're going to start doing that at 4:00 from now on. And I know there's a whole YouTube community of people that comment along and mock my face for radio, and that's fine. And I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. As long as you're happy, that's what makes me happy. But just know that going forward, so you can adjust your streaming habits. And of course, if you can't watch it live, it's posted on the Talk Radio 1210 WPHD YouTube page. And in addition to that, just so you know, we tweeted out yesterday the clip of Byron Donalds on the show, and B-Dog himself retweeted it. Matt DeSantis, did you see the reaction we got after he quoted it and retweeted it? Did you see that?
Last I saw was that I think somewhere around 80,000 interactions.
Uh-huh. Pretty amazing, right? Pretty good.
We
pretty good, if you
Byron
ask me.
Byron Donalds.
Byron Donalds. My man, B-Dog. All right, so we got a lot to chat about as the show goes on. Eli Lake's going to join us next. But I want to tell you real quick about my great friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, because it is my happy place. Mark your calendar. We're going to be back there Friday, September 6th for our first live show of the year. It's going to be a blast. Live shows always are, because they're unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. But the one thing I can guarantee you is it's going to be fun. And the fall is a great time to go to Cape May. So they have their September to Remember packages going on right now. And the Grand Hotel offers special midweek packages so you can enjoy the beach without breaking the bank. Stay 2 nights and save 10%. Stay 3 nights, get 10% off, and $55 a night in resort credits. Stay 5 nights, get 10% off, and $65 a night in resort credits. That can be used at Hemingway's restaurant for food and drinks, the gift shop, and so much more. The Grand offers guest rooms, suites, and townhomes equipped with a kitchenette, and they have two huge heated pools, one outdoor, one indoor. I'm telling you, the Grand is my happy place for a reason. Always book direct with them for the best rates by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com or call them at 800-257-8550. 800-257-8550. And we'll see you there Friday, September 6th.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right. Friday afternoon it is. Seems like we always have exceptional guests on a Friday. Today is no different. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show reporter at the Free Press, contributing editor for Commentary Magazine, and host of the Re-Education Podcast, the one and only Eli Lake joins me now. Hello, Eli. How are you?
Oh, thanks so much. It's great to be here, Rich.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on the show. Follow Eli on X at Eli Lake. Your latest piece, President Biden, Stand Up for the Venezuelan People. I'm glad you're speaking out about this because it's getting total radio silence from the corporate media out there. So let's talk about what's happening down there and why it's so necessary that the president of the United States of America should actually, you know, say something here.
Well, I agree. I mean, I will say that since I wrote that piece, last evening, Antony Blinken did put out something, and the State Department put out a statement basically saying that Gonzalez, who was the opposition candidate, had won the Venezuelan election and acknowledging that Maduro had stolen it. So I'm glad to see that they've moved to the right position. It's a little late, but I'll take it. And, you know, I am not a fan of Joe Biden's foreign policy, and I have lots of questions, as I'm sure many of your listeners do, about whether the president is compos mentis, as they say, to even be in that position at this point. So,
yes.
I mean, all of those, I think, are fair questions. But it would be good for America. It would be good for Venezuela. It would be good for the world. And it would be good for the Biden administration and their reputation in foreign policy, which has not been great, for them to get this right. And that means to put all the available pressure they have right now to try to start a process by which you negotiate a way for Maduro to maybe step aside. And that will mean, sadly, that he will not face the justice that he deserves to face because he has been particularly cruel. But it would, you know, here's an opportunity for America to flex diplomatic muscle and to try to enlist all these other countries to try to finally maybe begin the recovery, the long, slow recovery in Venezuela, because it is a broken place right now. I mean, that is the cause of the migration crisis in many ways. Something like 4 or 5 million Venezuelans have been forced to leave because it is being driven into the ground.
Well, and I think there's another important piece to this, too, and that is that this situation in Venezuela, the United States of America had a lot to do with Maduro in being in power in the first place. And, you know, we've taken their oil. We lifted sanctions under all the premises that we're going to have free and fair elections down there. I mean, these people, Biden's always screaming about democracy and the threats to democracy. We take their oil, which is dirtier than our oil. So, like, the United States has played a role here in leading up to this situation. It's more than reasonable to say we should now do something more since this election has been so obviously stolen and the military is now, I mean, you know, killing people who want to just see a fair election.
Yeah, I mean, he's running. I mean, my podcast is called The Reeducation, somewhat ironically, but there are reeducation camps in Venezuela for protesters at this point. We just saw a video that he released today that shows people sort of screaming their fidelity to Hugo Chavez. It's a real problem right now, Rich. And, you know, there are all these reasons where it's like, help me help you, Biden administration. Like, you guys are the ones who are going on about limitations in terms of fracking and other, you know, ways to try to exploit American oil, which is a huge, I think, campaign issue right now. But when we rely on Venezuelan oil, it's bad for the environment. As you pointed out, it's a dirtier version of the liquid gold that we need to power our economy. So that's one thing. And then the second thing is, you have a border crisis. It's a problem. He now acknowledges it. Well, if you want to try to fix one of the root causes, you got to figure out a way to try to push Maduro out. Ultimately, this is going to be up to, really, I would say, I mean, it's more than the Venezuelan people. It's the people around Maduro. If they think that he's not going to be able to make it, well, then, you know, that's how you try to winnow down to the dictator. That's how you do it. But there's a lot we can be doing to try to tighten the screws on this guy. He's already got the backing of the axis of dirtbags, you know, your North Koreas, your Irans, your Chinas, your Russia. But there are a lot of countries that matter for Venezuela, like Brazil, you know, Peru, Spain. These are places that should be, you know, quietly encouraged to do the right thing at this point. And I just hope that there is a plan and that that's going on.
Yeah, it's interesting that we don't talk enough about this, but I've long suspected that part of the reason why, you know, we propped up Maduro in the first place, we helped him get there, was because we did not want to appease the green left by drilling more in this country. And so we could kind of, well, we need the oil, though, so we could find a back way to do this. So we made the guy rich. We made the guy powerful. And he doesn't want to give up that power. No question about it. I mean, who would, right?
Well, it's worse than that. He doesn't want to give up the power. This is somebody who, you know, has an appeal to the hard left in the United States, particularly university professors. We all know the list of celebrities who've debased themselves by appearing, you know, with Hugo Chavez and Maduro. But this is somebody who really is, I think, one of the villains in Venezuelan history. He has sold off his country and its infrastructure to the Chinese, the Russians, and now increasingly the Iranians. That's more than just a problem, though, for Venezuela. Iran's presence in Latin America, to have kind of a home base like this, is very bad in terms of our own national security. So, you know, there are all kinds of reasons to kind of kick this guy out. I think it's really telling that Cuban special forces apparently have been flown in now to try to suppress the crowds. That tells me two things. One is Cuba still evil. But also, more important, you know, they're not really wanting to rely on Venezuelan forces to do this, because I think a lot of Venezuelans understand how illegitimate Nicolas Maduro really is.
Why should Americans care outside of people like us who believe in, you know, justice and these sort of things? Why should the average American care?
Well, I mean, let's just start with the big one. It's the border. I mean, if you want to know what's one of the things that's driving the border crisis right now, it is the fact that Venezuela is a basket case country. As I said, I think it's 4 million, 5 million Venezuelans have left in the last few years. And they end up usually in America. And if they don't end up in America, they end up in other countries that exacerbate the problem. So it's like Venezuela is a huge driver of the border crisis. If we have an opportunity to try to get them on the road to recovery, on the road back to becoming like a normal country, well, that will, you know, be one of the, we'll see the results in terms of there'll be fewer illegal immigrants in our country. So that's one thing Americans should care about. The other thing is that, you know, this is traditionally our hemisphere. America, you know, had for many years the Monroe Doctrine. Venezuela is now, basically opened up for our geopolitical adversaries and rivals. I hope there is not a huge world war. I would like to see, you know, Pax Americana last for another 1,000 years. But if we want to keep it that way, one of the things we have to do is make sure that bad actors are not given, you know, an opportunity to set up shop in the Western Hemisphere. And Venezuela really is the worst in that regard, because they have natural resources. They have an entirely unscrupulous leader. And, you know, he is basically, you know, set his country on this path where they're now in hock to these hostile foreign powers.
And I think it's worth noting, Eli Lake, that the people that who would flee Venezuela because they're unhappy with the fact that Maduro is clinging to power, and they know that their country is not free, and they know that they're going to have more, you know, socialism under this guy, they're going to come here to the United States of America. So
yeah,
this problem is going to be even more exacerbated by this. And I the point that you made earlier at the start of this, which is you're glad that Blinken acknowledged this. I mean, he put out a tweet, a statement, basically. But the president of the United States has not really acknowledged this. I mean, I'm tired of this administration always outsourcing foreign policy, whether it's to, you know, John Kirby or it's Blinken or somebody else. The voice of the president matters. And I understand, you know, Joe Biden may not know exactly what time it is. But, I mean, come on. Do better than just a freaking tweet by Blinken.
Yeah, I agree. Although, on the other hand, I'm a little bit worried. I mean, did you see, this is sort of related to it, but I mean, apparently he's angry at Israel for taking out Ismail Haniyeh, the political leader of Hamas in Iran, because he thinks it's an escalation and it will hurt the ceasefire talks. I'm sorry, the way that you get your hostages back and you prevent future wars is by going after horrific terrorists. And Haniyeh has American blood on his hands, too. So it's not just that Biden isn't all there, and we don't know the full extent of it. And by the way, the fact that the press has turned on a dime and we're no longer reading about it, even though I consider myself obviously a member of the Fourth Estate myself, but that's a huge problem. But I also don't trust Biden's instincts, and that's been a problem, especially in foreign policy, for a long time. The famous quote from Bob Gates, who was both George W. Bush's and Barack Obama's defense secretary, was, Joe Biden hasn't been right about a foreign policy issue in 50 years, and that's true. And so my hope here is that he is not, when he is, you know, fully there and isn't, you know, kind of vacant, that he is, I could see him having instincts saying, oh, my God, we can't get involved and something like that. The wrong instinct to have. I think Blinken's instincts are better in this regard. But, you know, frankly, it would be much better if someone like Marco Rubio was making the policy right now than the Biden crowd.
Let me ask you this question, Eli Lake, since you've got good instincts. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, there's an effort underway right now by the extreme kooky left. And there's a website now, stopgenocidejosh.org. I mean, this is a guy who's been incredibly critical of Netanyahu, probably going further to criticize Netanyahu than even Biden or Kamala Harris has. And several, there's an article I read where, you know, a few Democrat members of Congress who are Jewish who've said that they've been protested by, you know, the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian wing simply just for the fact that they're Jewish. What's the likelihood, you think, that this is an issue that could stand in the way of Josh Shapiro being picked?
Well, we will soon find out. I find it hard to believe that Kamala Harris would be so politically tone deaf as to have an event to announce her vice presidency, her vice president pick in Philadelphia, and have it not be Josh Shapiro, although it would be hilarious if she picked, like, what's his name, like Larry Krasner or somebody, like that horrible prosecutor in Philadelphia. Like,
right.
You could see her, like, maybe she picks another Pennsylvania politician, but, you know, it seems like she's going to do it, and that'll be actually healthy for the country, because I think it's important for the, you know, leadership of the Democratic Party to tell the anti-Semites that we're not going to listen to you. And, you know, I mean, I would love to see a sister soldier moment where Kamala Harris or Josh Shapiro or somebody says, if you think it's a genocide in Israel and you don't like the Jews, then don't vote for Democrats because we don't want your support. That is what they need to say. So we'll see. But I agree. I mean, I think that, like, all the scrutiny around Josh Shapiro right now, when there are other vice presidential candidates, including vice presidential candidates with skeletons in their closet, are not getting any of that scrutiny. That is, you know, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's anti-Semitism. And I'll just say this. I went to the same high school as Josh Shapiro. I was a year ahead of him at Akiva Hebrew Academy. And, you know, I think he's going to be pretty, I think my understanding is he's pretty solid on Israel. But he hasn't really been tested on Israel because he's been the governor of Pennsylvania. He's been, you know, the attorney general for Pennsylvania. Those are not positions where you're asked to vote on, you know, legislation about Israel. So it's not like he was in Congress or this, you know, or had a job where he would, you know, he has a sort of track record on this. But I think that, you know, this really does come down to the fact that the assumption is he observes the Shabbat. He's an observant Jew. And I think that it is just, you know, you say you're anti-Israel is a polite way of saying you just don't like the Jews.
Well said. Listen, we'll talk more. Obviously, there'll be a lot to chat about going forward,
absolutely,
no doubt about it. But in the meantime, follow Eli on X at Eli Lake and subscribe to his podcast, The Re-Education Podcast. And The Free Press. Yes, I was getting there.
Great,
I was going to do all the plugs.
Website. Everybody will like it. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Eli. Appreciate it, buddy.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, man. Bye.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we got a lot, including we're going to talk to Brett Eagleson. You know, he's the son of a 9/11 victim. He's president of 9/11 Justice, and we're going to get his thoughts on Saudi Arabia and Saudi Arabia's role on 9/11, because there's a lot coming out here in court. So hopefully we'll get some answers there and some clarification. A little bit later in the show, Dr. Wilfred Riley joins us, and the effort to take down Josh Shapiro may actually also come down to this sexual harassment allegation that his office is very complicit in covering up. I'll give you all the details about that. Straight ahead, don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right. Friday afternoon it is. Seems like we always have exceptional guests on a Friday. Today is no different. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show reporter at the Free Press, contributing editor for Commentary Magazine, and host of the Re-Education Podcast, the one and only Eli Lake joins me now. Hello, Eli. How are you?
Oh, thanks so much. It's great to be here, Rich.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on the show. Follow Eli on X at Eli Lake. Your latest piece, President Biden, Stand Up for the Venezuelan People. I'm glad you're speaking out about this because it's getting total radio silence from the corporate media out there. So let's talk about what's happening down there and why it's so necessary that the president of the United States of America should actually, you know, say something here.
Well, I agree. I mean, I will say that since I wrote that piece, last evening, Antony Blinken did put out something, and the State Department put out a statement basically saying that Gonzalez, who was the opposition candidate, had won the Venezuelan election and acknowledging that Maduro had stolen it. So I'm glad to see that they've moved to the right position. It's a little late, but I'll take it. And, you know, I am not a fan of Joe Biden's foreign policy, and I have lots of questions, as I'm sure many of your listeners do, about whether the president is compos mentis, as they say, to even be in that position at this point. So,
yes.
I mean, all of those, I think, are fair questions, but it would be good for America, it would be good for Venezuela, it would be good for the world, and it would be good for the Biden administration and their reputation in foreign policy, which has not been great, for them to get this right. And that means to put all the available pressure they have right now to try to start a process by which you negotiate a way for Maduro to maybe step aside. And that will mean, sadly, that he will not face the justice that he deserves to face, because he has been particularly cruel. But it would, you know, here's an opportunity for America to flex its diplomatic muscle and to try to enlist all these other countries to try to finally maybe begin the recovery, the long, slow recovery in Venezuela, because it is a broken place right now. I mean, that is the cause of the migration crisis in many ways. Something like 4 or 5 million Venezuelans have been forced to leave because it is being driven into the ground.
Well, and I think there's another important piece to this, too, and that is that this situation in Venezuela, the United States of America had a lot to do with Maduro in being in power in the first place. And, you know, we've taken their oil. We lifted sanctions under all the premises that we're going to have free and fair elections down there. I mean, these people, Biden's always screaming about democracy and the threats to democracy. We take their oil, which is dirtier than our oil. So, like, the United States has played a role here in leading up to this situation. It's more than reasonable to say we should now do something more, since this election has been so obviously stolen and the military is now, I mean, you know, killing people who want to just see a fair election.
Yeah, I mean, he's running. I mean, my podcast is called The Reeducation, somewhat ironically, but there are reeducation camps in Venezuela for protesters at this point. We just saw a video that he released today that shows people sort of screaming their fidelity to Hugo Chavez. It's a real problem right now, Rich. And, you know, there are all these reasons where it's like, help me help you, Biden administration. Like, you guys are the ones who are going on about limitations in terms of fracking and other, you know, ways to try to exploit American oil, which is a huge, I think, campaign issue right now. But when we rely on Venezuelan oil, it's bad for the environment. As you pointed out, it's a dirtier version of the liquid gold that we need to power our economy. So that's one thing. And then the second thing is, you have a border crisis. It's a problem. He now acknowledges it. Well, if you want to try to fix one of the root causes, you got to figure out a way to try to push Maduro out. Ultimately, this is going to be up to, really, I would say, I mean, it's more than the Venezuelan people. It's the people around Maduro. If they think that he's not going to be able to make it, well, then, you know, that's how you try to winnow down to the dictator. That's how you do it. But there's a lot we can be doing to try to tighten the screws on this guy. He's already got the backing of the axis of dirtbags, you know, your North Koreas, your Irans, your Chinas, your Russia. But there are a lot of countries that matter for Venezuela, like Brazil, you know, Peru, Spain. These are places that should be, you know, quietly encouraged to do the right thing at this point. And I just hope that there is a plan and that that's going on.
Yeah, it's interesting that we don't talk enough about this, but I've long suspected that part of the reason why, you know, we propped up Maduro in the first place, we helped him get there, was because we did not want to appease the green left by drilling more in this country. And so we could kind of, well, we need the oil, though, so we could find a back way to do this. So we made the guy rich. We made the guy powerful. And he doesn't want to give up that power. No question about it. I mean, who would, right?
Well, it's worse than that. He doesn't want to give up the power. This is somebody who, you know, has an appeal to the hard left in the United States, particularly university professors. We all know the list of celebrities who've debased themselves by appearing, you know, with Hugo Chavez and Maduro. But this is somebody who really is, I think, one of the villains in Venezuelan history. He has sold off his country and its infrastructure to the Chinese, the Russians, and now increasingly the Iranians. That's more than just a problem, though, for Venezuela. Iran's presence in Latin America, to have kind of a home base like this, is very bad in terms of our own national security. So, you know, there are all kinds of reasons to kind of kick this guy out. I think it's really telling that Cuban special forces apparently have been flown in now to try to suppress the crowds. That tells me two things. One is Cuba still evil, but also more important, you know, they're not really wanting to rely on Venezuelan forces to do this, because I think a lot of Venezuelans understand how illegitimate Nicolas Maduro really is.
Why should Americans care outside of people like us who believe in, you know, justice and these sort of things? Why should the average American care?
Well, I mean, let's just start with the big one. It's the border. I mean, if you want to know what's one of the things that's driving the border crisis right now, it is the fact that Venezuela is a basket case country. As I said, I think it's 4 million, 5 million Venezuelans have left in the last few years. And they end up usually in America. And if they don't end up in America, they end up in other countries that exacerbate the problem. So it's like Venezuela is a huge driver of the border crisis. If we have an opportunity to try to get them on the road to recovery, on the road back to becoming like a normal country, well, that will, you know, be one of the, we'll see the results in terms of there'll be fewer illegal immigrants in our country. So that's one thing Americans should care about. The other thing is that, you know, this is traditionally our hemisphere. America, you know, had for many years the Monroe Doctrine. Venezuela is now, basically opened up for our geopolitical adversaries and rivals. I hope there is not a huge world war. I would like to see, you know, Pax Americana last for another 1,000 years. But if we want to keep it that way, one of the things we have to do is make sure that bad actors are not given, you know, an opportunity to set up shop in the Western Hemisphere. And Venezuela really is the worst in that regard, because they have natural resources. They have an entirely unscrupulous leader. And, you know, he has basically, you know, set his country on this path where they're now in hock to these hostile foreign powers.
And I think it's worth noting, Eli Lake, that the people that who would flee Venezuela because they're unhappy with the fact that Maduro is clinging to power, and they know that their country is not free, and they know that they're going to have more, you know, socialism under this guy, they're going to come here to the United States of America. So
yeah,
this problem is going to be even more exacerbated by this. And I, the point that you made earlier at the start of this, which is you're glad that Blinken acknowledged this. I mean, he put out a tweet, a statement, basically, but. But the president of the United States has not really acknowledged this. I mean, I'm tired of this administration always outsourcing foreign policy, whether it's to, you know, John Kirby or it's Blinken or somebody else. The voice of the president matters. And I understand, you know, Joe Biden may not know exactly what time it is, but I mean, come on, do better than just a freaking tweet by Blinken.
Yeah, I agree. Although, on the other hand, I'm a little bit worried. I mean, did you see, this is sort of related to it, but I mean, he's angry at Israel for taking out Ismail Haniyeh, the political leader of Hamas in Iran, because he thinks it's an escalation and it will hurt the ceasefire talks. I'm sorry, the way that you get your hostages back and you prevent future wars is by going after horrific terrorists. And Haniyeh has American blood on his hands, too. So it's not just that Biden isn't all there, and we don't know the full extent of it. And by the way, the fact that the press has turned on a dime and we're no longer reading about it, even though I consider myself obviously a member of the Fourth Estate myself, but that's a huge problem. But I also don't trust Biden's instincts, and that's been a problem, especially in foreign policy, for a long time. The famous quote from Bob Gates, who was both George W. Bush's and Barack Obama's defense secretary, was, Joe Biden hasn't been right about a foreign policy issue in 50 years, and that's true. And so my hope here is that he is not, when he is, you know, fully there and isn't, you know, kind of vacant, that he is, that I could see him having instincts saying, oh, my God, we can't get involved and something like that. The wrong instinct to have. I think Blinken's instincts are better in this regard. But, you know, frankly, it would be much better if someone like Marco Rubio was making the policy right now than the Biden crowd.
Let me ask you this question, Eli Lake, since you've got good instincts. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, there's an effort underway right now by the extreme kooky left. And there's a website now, stopgenocidejosh.org. I mean, this is a guy who's been incredibly critical of Netanyahu, probably going further to criticize Netanyahu than even Biden or Kamala Harris has. And several, there's an article I read where, you know, a few Democrat members of Congress who are Jewish who've said that they've been protested by you know, the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian wing, simply just for the fact that they're Jewish. What's the likelihood, you think, that this is an issue that could stand in the way of Josh Shapiro being picked?
Well, we will soon find out. I find it hard to believe that Kamala Harris would be so politically tone-deaf as to have an event to announce her vice presidency, her vice president pick, in Philadelphia and have it not be Josh Shapiro, although it would be hilarious if she picked, like, what's his name, like Larry Krasner or somebody, like that horrible prosecutor in Philadelphia. Like, right. You could see her, like, maybe she picks another Pennsylvania politician, but, you know, it seems like she's going to do it, and that'll be actually healthy for the country, because I think it's important for the, you know, leadership of the Democratic Party to tell the anti-Semites that we're not going to listen to you. And you know, I mean, I would love to see a sister soldier moment where Kamala Harris or Josh Shapiro or somebody says, if you think it's a genocide in Israel and you don't like the Jews, then don't vote for Democrats because we don't want your support. That is what they need to say. So we'll see. But I agree. I mean, I think that, like, all the scrutiny around Josh Shapiro right now, when there are a lot of, there are other vice presidential candidates, including vice presidential candidates with skeletons in their closet, are not getting any of that scrutiny, that is, you know, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's anti-Semitism. And I'll just say this, I went to the same high school as Josh Shapiro, I was a year ahead of him at Akiva Hebrew Academy, and, you know, I think he's going to be pretty, I think my understanding is he's pretty solid on Israel, but he hasn't really been tested on Israel because he's been the governor of Pennsylvania, he's been, you know, the attorney general for Pennsylvania. That, those are not positions where you're asked to vote on, you know, legislation about Israel. So it's not like he was in Congress or this, you know, or had a job where he would, you know, he has a sort of track record on this. But I think that, you know, this really does come down to the fact that the assumption is he observes the Shabbat. He's an observant Jew. And I think that it is just, you know, you say you're anti-Israel is a polite way of saying you just don't like the Jews.
Well said. Listen, we'll talk more. Obviously, there'll be a lot to chat about going forward,
absolutely,
no doubt about it. But in the meantime, follow Eli on X at Eli Lake and subscribe to his podcast, The Re-Education Podcast. And The Free Press. Yes, I was getting there.
Great,
I was going to do all the plugs.
Website. Everybody will like it. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Eli. Appreciate it, buddy.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, man. Bye.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we got a lot, including we're going to talk to Brett Eagleson. You know, he's the son of a 9/11 victim. He's president of 9/11 Justice, and we're going to get his thoughts on Saudi Arabia and Saudi Arabia's role on 9/11, because there's a lot coming out here in court. So hopefully we'll get some answers there and some clarification. A little bit later in the show, Dr. Wilfred Riley joins us, and the effort to take down Josh Shapiro may actually also come down to this sexual harassment allegation that his office is very complicit in covering up. I'll give you all the details about that straight ahead. Don't go away.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.